night. I was kneading playing, just a thought came to my mind tonight in relationship to the service tonight, what God wants us to do. The book of Joshua, chapter 7. Verse 4. This is after Israel had taken Jericho. The walls had fallen flat. God had done a mighty miracle to that walled city that 10 of the spies of the first generation that came out of Egypt said could not be taken because the walls reached up into heaven and the giants were there. But as the people went in obedience and faith and one accord, behind the Joshua and behind the high priest and behind the priests and with their trumpets and were faithful to shout in unison and to march in unison to do what God said, those walls came tumbling down. Sin had entered the camp. They'd gone up before the next town, little Ai. And they had fled before the men of Ai. That's verse 4. And so we read in verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time. All day he lay there on his face before the ark of the covenant, praying, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. They were discouraged, Lot. They were humbled. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God. And when you begin to say alas to God, you know you're in trouble. Wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? Why have you brought community chapel into a building program that we cannot finish? But we're finishing it. To destroy us, would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. There's a lot of Christians willing to dwell on the other side of Jordan. But praise God, we're going on through to the promised land. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Lord, we got people that are backsliding. Lord, the devil is defeating God's people. We're having difficulties. We got people who are not healed. Lord, what are we going to say when we preach healing? When we got people in our own church that aren't healed? What are we going to say about righteousness? We got people in our own church that aren't walking right. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us about, cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Lord, things are getting rough in the earth. Maybe your name is going to go under. Kind of looks like it. Not a chance. Yeah. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. What are you doing down on your face, blubbering? What are you doing saying, alas, and what about them, and oh, woe is me, and woe is us? He says, get up, get up. I think the Lord would say to some of you tonight, get up. What are you doing on the ground? Well, I'm praying, Lord. Sanctimonious, negative prayers, woe is me prayers. I can't seem to make it, Lord. I don't think we're going to make it, Lord. He says, get up, get up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. It's not my fault. It isn't God's fault that things aren't going a lot better. It's not God's fault that you're not in the ministry, you young minister students. It's not God's fault that you haven't got the glory of you that are hunting for His glory and presence. It's not God's fault you haven't been rebaptized with the Holy Ghost 12 times when you prayed 14 times. Israel has sinned. It's not God's fault you're not healed.
Right.
The camp has sinned.
Right.
It isn't necessarily Joshua's fault of 3,000 men that went up, or you that got diabetes, but somebody in the camp. The camp isn't right. They have transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Because people in the Church of Community Chapel, some of them, doesn't have to be all of them, doesn't have to be the majority, some of them, therefore, the devils haven't all fallen before you.
Right.
Therefore, the sicknesses haven't all fallen before you.
Right.
Therefore, everybody's door isn't wide open to you.
Right.
But turn their backs upon their enemies, because they were cursed, neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people. And say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. I think God's still saying that.
Right.
Sanctify the people. Make holy the people. Separate them from the world. Separate them from the Babylonians. Separate them from those in Jericho. From the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold. Separate themselves unto the Lord, distinct and holy, that are his. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, that you be not partakers of the plagues. I think we're running right up against the wall. And when you run right up against the wall, and you look up that wall, and you keep looking up the wall, at the top of the wall you see a face. That wall is the cloak of the Lord. You run right up against. You can't go any further, and the Lord is standing right there, towering before you're looking down, saying, sanctify the people before you go on. God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, out of Babylonia, out of where they worshiped with household idols. Said, I have a place for you to go. Don't ask any questions. Don't seek blessings. Don't go off in the corner and pray until you know the way ahead of time. Don't seek signs. Just go. I'll tell you when you get there. Go by faith. It was a long, hard journey. In a lot of ways, he found a famine in the place that God had promised him. Don't think you missed God's will because there's famines and difficulties. God wants to take where there's a famine and make it a fruitful land that blossoms like the Garden of Eden. And that land that was in famine shall someday blossom as a rose. But Abraham was given a promise. And he waited long and could not find the promise. Has God given you a promise? Have you waited long? Did you do what Abraham did? Say, well, we've waited about as long as we can wait. I mean, we've been patient with the Lord. I mean, he's made a promise to us, and years have slipped by. And it sure since that time isn't getting any younger. If something's going to be done, we're going to have to call a committee. We're going to have to get together and decide how to hold a revival on our own. We're going to have our own evangelistic programs. We're going to have to do this thing on our own. We're going to have to get out and hobnob with some people of name and get some contacts. I mean, if this work of God's going to get out to the earth, it sure sends that we just can't stay around here learning the principles of God. We've got to get on with it. But what he produced wasn't the promised seed. What he produced was a vexing spirit in a flesh man. What he produced is a problem in the Church of Abraham that caused one day a division, a dividing of the wheat from the tares, a purging, a pruning back from the house of Abraham, had to punish me all off of it. And then there came a day he reached down and touched the very ministry and heart and life of Abraham, the very blessing he gave him, the music ministry that he gave you, or that particular job he gave you. And he says, crucify him. Get rid of it. Kill it. And about that time you say, Lord, I don't understand. You gave me Isaac. He was your blessing. He's the delight of my heart. He's everything. He's all I really have left. He means everything to me. God says, I know that's the problem. That's the problem. Your ministry means everything to you. You'll do anything for your ministry. You'll sneak, lie, cheat, and convert anything for your ministry. You'll do anything there is to promote your ministry. Get rid of it. I don't want it. It's not a blessing to me. Well, Lord, I'm a persevering, travailing prayer warrior. I pray 9 hours a day. He says, I know. You are such a prayer champ. It's standing all over you. It means too much and you're too high and mighty. I want you to pray, but you made your whole life prayer. Get out and begin to witness. Get out and begin to work for God. Get off your bones and begin to work. But Lord, I've ministered, witnessed all the time. It's all I do is witness. He says, I know, and you're dry as a bone. Get down in the prayer room and get praying. Get some fire in your souls. You know, he had to give up that thing that God gave. There was nothing wrong with the thing. Nothing wrong with Isaac. He just held it in too high esteem. He is a jealous God. And he jealously desires the whole of you, the Bible says. And when Abraham said, all right, Lord, I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. I know that if I get rid of this very thing you gave me, whether it's my husband that's unsaved, whether it's my child, Johnny, that has to go to school, that keeps me away from going to church at night because my Johnny needs sleep, whether it's your music ministry, your outreach, or whatever, I know he's able to even raise it from the dead again if I'll give it up and put God first. And when Abraham put God first, God says, hold it. He says, I really wanted you to have that ministry. I really wanted you to have that blessing and that gift. I just couldn't stand you holding it above me. It was going to destroy you. But now that I am first, you can have it. Keep it. I want you to have it. Jonah received a commission from God. It was his assignment to go out, begin to pastor in a little country church called Nineveh. He didn't want to go there. He had something else in mind. He wanted to stay in the community chapel of Jerusalem. God says, you go to Nineveh. He went down to Joppa. And then he went down into the boat. And then he went down into the bottom of the sea. He decided that he was going to go to Tarshish. But he never said, if the Lord willeth, I'll go to Tarshish. He never made it to Tarshish. He made it from Israel to the bottom of the sea in about 3 steps. The Hebrew says that God hurled a wind out into the sea. And that little walnut shell with that little toothpick mast and that little paper bent on it out there with the mariners on it began to ship water overseas. And they threw that little ant called Jonah overboard and he sunk down to the bottom of the sea. The prophet of God. His ministry was all gone. He was all, pardon the expression, washed up. But down where he felt like he was behind the bars of hell, with the weeds of the sea about his head, he came to himself like the prodigal son, cried out unto God, said, Lord, I'll pay my vows. I'll come back. I'll do what you want me to do. And about that time, God caused that circumstance to throw him up on dry land. Do you know what he did? He went to Nineveh as fast as his feet could carry him. He didn't make any side trips and vacations first. He was willing to do what God said to do. He quit using his own mind. He quit worrying about whether Nineveh and Assyria was going to take Judah if God blessed them and saved them. He began to say, Lord, this is your business. It's only my job to obey you. I wonder if God isn't saying to some of us, some of you are down at the bottom of the sea. You're down there on that big black whale. And God is, and you're saying, there's no hope for me. If you look to his holy hill and say, Lord, I'll pay the sacrifice of my vows. I'll sacrifice. God will heal you. When you, though you cry out of hell, though I am there, the scripture says. Some people are in their personal hell right now, but God is there to deliver you.
Yeah.
Some of you are like the Apostle Paul. Said, Lord, this thorn in the side is killing me. If I could just get rid of this thing. If I could just get rid of this thing. Lord, take that thing away from me. Lord, take that thing away from me. Lord, take that thing away from me. God says, keep it. You need it. You get too proud because of the abundance of revelations given to you. My grace is sufficient. Don't seek to get rid of every problem. My grace will enable you to rise above the problems. The servant is not greater than his master. Christ carried the cross. You carry your cross. You carry your cross. Don't ask to have you be able to lay your cross down. Don't be like the Roman soldier that took the helmet off and laid it beside him and put the shield against the wall. Carry on. Be not weary in well-doing. Press the battle home. And if you've got your problems, if you say, if it wasn't for that brother, if it just wasn't for my unsaved husband, if it just wasn't for that diabetes, if it just wasn't for that infirmity of mine, if it wasn't for that lisping tongue, God says, my grace is sufficient.
Right.
With what you are, use what you got and trust me, and I'll make it more than enough.
Right.
Saul was given a new heart, made a new man. That day he became king. You've experienced that. God made you a new man one day, gave you a new heart. There came a day that God said, Saul, when you were small in mine eyes, I blessed you. But now that you've become great, he said, I am rending the kingdom out of thine hand. I'm going to take it away from you and give it to somebody more worthy than you. You become too big. You begin to think you could play high priest. Oh, he had his rationale for disobeying Samuel and God. He said the Philistines are there. We've got to have a sacrifice. They can come down any moment. And if we haven't made our sacrifice, we might lose. God says, you do it my way. If you're going to do this thing, you're going to do it my way. If you're going to defeat the devil and all the Philistines, you're going to do it my way. You're going to let me decide. Don't point to your own shepherds. I'll point to shepherds.
Right.
Don't decide that you're high priest when you're not high priest. I'll decide who's high priest. Don't decide whether you're in jeopardy. Let God be your wall of protection. You just trust me and do it my way. And because you haven't, I've taken the kingdom from you, and you won't be able to hear from me anymore. You won't hear my spirit anymore. Peter said, Lord, I am strong and committed. Though all men forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. Not me, not this kid. You can trust me. You can see this guy right here, Lord. You got confidence in him. You can trust him. It wasn't long after that Jesus said, Peter, agape thou me. He said, Lord, you know that I filio you. And he said, in effect, I just want to ask you. Let me give it to you again. Peter, agape thou me. Oh, Lord, you know that I filio thee. He said, do you? Do you filio me? Is that what it is? Phileo? Is that what it is? Though all men forsake me, I will follow thee. I'll lay down my life. I will agape. I will sacrifice. Now you're saying, I got a strong affection for you. Every time he asked him if he agaped him, he answered back, I phileo you. You know, some of us fancy ourselves just too high. Lord, I'll never go back. Lord, you can trust me. I am committed. I am solid. They should make me elder. I agape you with all of my heart. I'll go with you through the valley. I'll go with you in the garden. Where you lead me, I will send me. I will follow, Lord. I'll say what you ask me to say. I'll do what you ask me to do. Oh, no, Lord, not that. I couldn't do that. You know, you come out to find out you got a fair sum of religion with a filial love. Didn't have the love you thought you had. Every so often, God has to stick the thermometer in our mouth and check our temperature. Let us know what we really are. Daniel prayed and 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 prayed. Heavens were brass. Gabriel said, as it were, no, the heavens aren't brass. Said, God heard you from the very first. From the very first time you opened your mouth, he heard you. He knows you're down there. He saw you in the furnace. He saw you in the furnace. He saw the devil withstanding you. He said, I've come to strengthen you now. Come to strengthen you. He didn't come to strengthen him on the first, second, third, and fourth day he prayed. Have you been praying 21 days like Daniel? I mean, day and night for something? Have you prayed your 21 months? Have you prayed? Have you prayed and prayed and prayed and given up on God? He heard you. He heard you. He's God. He heard you. Make no mistake about it. He heard you. But there is an enemy withstanding you. And that has to be dealt with. The prince of Persia has to get rid of. That demon that's in the behind that prince of Persia has to be taken care of. They have to come to grips with certain things. You've got to fill up the golden vials in heaven. I think God's calling us to a place of responsibility, to a place of heart holiness, to a place of prayer sanctification. I think God would take us further than this little kindergarten religion where everybody bounces around and plays blocks in church and laughs and has fun and then cries like crazy when anybody does anything or takes a little spiritual dump truck away from them. Right. Dumps a little bit of sand down the back of their neck in their dorm. Steals a penny from their pocket. He breaks his little toy when he gets run onto and down on First Avenue by another car. I think God's calling for a deeper religion, a deeper commitment. And I think it's about high time that we hear what God is saying to his people. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I would like you tonight to commit yourself real deep. To make a full covenant commitment. There are too many people walking around with sanctimonious, pious looks in their face and their nice little translation tucked under the arm with a little purple coming out here, maybe 8 or 10 or 15 pieces of paper, and say, that always looks impressive. You open the Bible and flip in a few dozen of them, you know, if you look good. But I want to tell you something. God looks on the heart. He knows if you've got bitterness. He knows if you've got pride. Even though you say, I've got no pride. He sees the pride just oozing out the ears and running out the eyeballs and out the pores. When you say, I don't have any pride. God knows, my friend. He knows. And God wants to bless his people. There's a whole land to conquer, a whole promise to receive. But he says, the camp is sinned. Up and sanctify the people. And then I'll give you the whole land. I'll give you the nation. I'll give you the world. Nothing will stand in front of you. All the demons in hell can't stop you. I'll open doors and no man can close them. And some people get too big, I'll close those doors and nobody will open them. But he says, you got to walk holy. You got to do it my way. You got to be willing to preach in Nineveh. You got to be willing to stay home in Jerusalem. You got to give up Isaac. You can't bargain with God. He'll out-bargain you at every bargain table you ever try. You can't Jew him down one mite. It's all one way with him. You do it his way or you don't do it. Would you stand, please? Lord, we would renew our covenant, blood covenant, commitment to you right now in Jesus' name. Come to the piano, please. Lord, I would just ask that the Holy Spirit convict tonight, challenge. Lord, search our hearts. May each one of us be honest before you. And if you see anything in our hearts tonight that's not right with God, would you deal with it, please? Lord, I want to give up, and I commit to give up, and I will give up everything in my heart and life and mind that is not right, that stands contrary to the word of truth, the divine measuring plumb line, the rod of God, the word of God, God himself. Lord, we ask you to forgive us our specific sins of commission and omission and ignorance, lethargies, lack of faith, carnality, pride, backbiting, stubbornness, lack of forgiveness, unwillingness. Oh Lord, separate your people from the world. Make them holy. Lord, do a work in our hearts tonight. We surrender unto you. We know, Lord, you can't come down and deliver your people mightily until your people are willing and are wholly yours. Hasten the day when there will not be a soul. And I'd say, here I am, Lord. Deal with my heart and send me. Lord, may each one of us say right now, honestly from our heart, Lord, not my will, not my will. Any areas of unwillingness, I give up right now. I give up all pride, hurt. I give up animosities. I give up my fears. I give up my own stubborn way, my own reservations. I give up the things of the world that are fleshly and carnal and not of God. I give up my pride in trying to elbow my way past my brother and sister into the ministries. I give up, Lord, my pride that wants to be recognized and held aloof, aloft. Lord, every self-deceit that puts blinders over my eyes from seeing my own problems. Every spiritual jealousy. Everything that is unclean, lustful, and not right. Every schismatic spirit, contentious spirit, stubbornness. Father, in the name of Jesus, cleanse us tonight. Though our sins be as scarlet, make them as though white driven snow. Cause thy word to be effective in our lives. May thy presence be here tonight to lift up thy people and bless us and strengthen us in thee and cause a mighty work to go forth from this place in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.